Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Learn the Bible in a Year, Genesis to Revelation in 365 Lessons. My name is Shane, and this is Lesson 344, 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Peter wanted his readers to know what they believed and why they believed it, so they could answer those who asked. Stated simply, we believe Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, so whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Our faith is based on the eyewitness testimony of Jesus' apostles who were willing to suffer and die for what they saw and never changed their story. In a court of law, that is about as good as it gets. But there is more. In addition to the external testimony of the apostles, we have the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Spirit provides assurance to all who believe in Jesus Christ that we are God's children. On the basis of the eyewitness testimony of the apostles and the indwelling Spirit, we know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. This is what we believe and why we believe it. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is near. This verse was written 2,000 years ago, but is still true for at least three reasons. First, the end is nearer now than it was yesterday. Second, the end is near for us individually, since we are only a heartbeat away from death. Third, if Jesus does not return for a million years, it is still near compared to eternity. I met a man in his 40s whose health was beginning to fail. I offered to meet with him to explain the gospel, but he put it off. He thought he still had plenty of time, but he died later that week. The end of all things is near, and may be nearer than we think. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Peter knew his Bible well and drew on two verses from Proverbs. Love covers over all wrongs, and love covers over an offense. One of the most loving things that we can do for fellow sinners is to protect their reputations. We have all done things we are ashamed of and should simply do for others what we would like them to do for us. This means speaking all the good we know and none of the bad. Some sins need to be exposed, but most do not. Love covers over a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Peter knew the strength of any church depends on every believer using their gift for the good of the whole. Spiritual gifts include serving, leading, encouraging, giving, teaching, and more. Broadly speaking, a spiritual gift is whatever a Christian can do for the good of the church. Spiritual gifts can be used formally, as when a pastor gives a sermon, or informally, as when someone mows the church lawn simply because it needs to be mowed. All believers have a spiritual gift which God expects them to use. A conductor stopped a rehearsal in the middle of a song. "Where is the piccolo?" he asked. The piccolo player thought he could stop playing and that no one would notice. But the conductor noticed, and so does Jesus Christ. The health of any church depends on every believing using their gifts for the good of the whole. 1 Peter 4:12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Some of Peter's readers were surprised by the suffering they were going through. They may have assumed their lives would improve after they put their faith in God. Instead, their lives became worse. If God is good and powerful, why was he letting them suffer? This question cannot be answered to everyone's satisfaction. It is, in fact, the primary argument atheists use against believing in a good and powerful God. A God who allows suffering might be good but not powerful, or he might be powerful but not good. But a God who is both good and powerful would not allow suffering, they insist. But if God has a morally sufficient reason for allowing suffering, then suffering does not disprove the goodness, power, or existence of God. Parents buy braces to straighten their children's teeth, but are not considered evil for doing so. They allow their child to suffer pain for the good it will bring their child. This is how we should think about any suffering God allows into our lives. 1 Peter 4:16, "If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." The unbelieving majority will always try to make Christians feel ashamed of their faith. Christians are mocked for attending church, shunning evil, and believing unusual things. Instead of being ashamed, however, Paul wanted believers to praise God for the honor of bearing the name of Jesus Christ. Taliesin was working outside an elementary school in Armenia when the ground began to shake. He ran inside to get the children out and then returned to be sure he did not miss anyone. The ground shook again, however, and the building fell on his head. From that day on, the town honored his widow by calling her Taliesin's wife. Our greatest honor is not who we are, but whose we are. We ought to praise God for the honor of bearing the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:8, "Your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." A lady was vacationing in Africa and was viewing wildlife from the safety of a bus. Passengers were told to keep their windows up, but the lions looked so peaceful she did not feel threatened. She wanted a better look, so she rolled her window down and a lion suddenly charged. She tried to roll it up again, but it was too late. The lion got a paw inside and literally ripped her face off. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, and we put ourselves at risk whenever we lower the window of sin. Thanks for listening to Learn the Bible in a Year. We want everyone in the world to have a Bible and to learn the Bible. For more information, click on the donate page. And thanks for listening to Learn the Bible in a Year.